in Jesus Christ is my Savior and my Lord. And I like to do a commentary on day 48. And the Bible verse is Romans chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. And it reads, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. And do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. I went back in my thinking, or went back in the Bible, and I wanted to find out where in context is that section that we're focusing on in this reading, Romans 6, 1 through 14. In Romans 6, 1 through 14, Paul is telling those listeners that grace does not give believers a license to sin. We know that our names are written in heaven. We know that God in His mercy, has taken our sins away. We have crossed over from death to life. But that does not mean that we can just go ahead and say, well, I know I'm getting to heaven, so I can do whatever I want to do because God forgives me. I've even heard people say that they know that they knew it was sinful to eat, and yet they said, oh, God understands, and then they go and do it. So Paul, that's nothing new. People do it in all many different ways, and Paul is addressing that idea too. And the way that he addresses it is that he explains that we have been united with Christ. We're His now. We belong to Him. We have died to sin. And so we should be about living a new life. And many people who have witnessed, baptism after they themselves have given themselves to the Lord, they see symbolically what the baptism represents. When people go under that water and they come out, new. That is reminding to us about Christ's death and His resurrection. We are resurrection people. We are going to celebrate that this week. We have been made new. We're not who we used to be. I have to remind myself of that a lot. Sometimes, I'll be thinking something, and I mean, it has gone way south. And when I realize what I'm thinking, I know very much how important it is to stop it, to stop that thinking, because thinking will eventually go into the way I'm feeling. And when I feel like, I'm no longer the Lord's and I can do what I want to do, it's just a matter of time. I'll start behaving like I am not anymore. I'm not lost. I'm not lost. I don't need to behave like a lost person. And when I go into addictive behaviors, I'm acting like I don't know the answer. I do know the answer. I know Jesus as Lord, and I don't want the devil to use me to hurt the chance of someone who is lost to come over. When people say that I am the only Bible that someone might read, that, that's not just a folk saying, it's true. That I have the advantage of maturing enough in my faith that I know the importance of being the Word. So I know the Word of God. But it's not just a matter of knowing the Word. I have to live that Word out. The Bible is very clear about that. James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. We can quote chapters and verses and memorize all we want to, but if it is not walked out in our lives, we are fooling ourselves. We are, and so we don't want to be about that. And that definitely plays into what we're talking about with the food, that we know better. We know that eating just randomly and impulsively is not correct. It's wrong. It causes our mind. It's like being drunk for us. It means that we get focused on obsession about the food itself. You know, we think that the flavor of the food is the meaning of life. And we become obsessed about it. That how are we going to have some more of this food? And some of us have had histories of being so obsessed that we just continue to eat way beyond what our body even needs or even wants. I can remember times in my life, I'm telling you, sitting on the side of the bed and thinking, I am so full, I can die. And yet it was another voice inside of me saying, oh, please, come on, you better finish this binge because you're going to regret it tomorrow. And I would. But I am not that person anymore. This is ridiculous. I won't do things. And this is, I don't eat like that today by God's grace. But it's the same thing about misbehavior. Like I said, you know, I have to watch what I think. And I cannot sit there and be thinking some stuff about people that I know will eventually play itself out in the way that I speak, in the way that I act, in the way that I talk to other people. I mean, no, I don't want to do that. I really don't. And I have to watch it not only in my conscience, my subconscious. I have had times when I have been kind of like waking up from a dream or something like that. I'm thinking, and I mean, I'm thinking some stuff that I used to do, you know, immoral stuff. And it's like, oh no. I mean, I'm not even fully awake. Father, you know, please stop that thinking in my mind or thoughts. I never, ever want to go back to the life that I had before I knew the Lord. So I have died to sin, and the devil would like to entice me to think that that life was wonderful. No, that life was horrible. That life was death. And I want nothing to be a part of that. I don't want to be a part of it with the food, but I certainly do not want to be a part of it in fighting other people. People are not for me to compete with. People are not for me to compare myself with. And people are not for me to criticize. If a person is doing something wrong, God is calling me who know him and know how to pray in his name. He's calling me to pray for them, to pray that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil. He is not calling me to help the devil out by pushing that person further and further into sin by my behavior toward them, my thoughts toward them. No. I'm not doing that today. And so in this section, Paul is urging believers to offer themselves to God, not as instruments of sin, but as instruments of righteousness, because sin no longer has dominion over them. You know, we can no longer say to ourselves, I'm powerless over this. No, we are not powerless over this. We have the Holy Spirit that indwells us now, and we must do the things that fan up that Spirit in us. In the reading of today, some of the things that I had highlighted before, and I just want to continue to highlight them, is the one where it says that I saw my overeating as no big deal. It is a big deal because I belong to Jesus and I am his ambassador. And history has proven, let me get into overeating and it will become an obsession and eventually a compulsion where I am binging and I'm hating myself and I'm hating you. Because especially if you are abstinent, I used to hate abstinent people when I was in the food because I felt that they had something that I didn't have and I didn't know how to do and I was jealous of them and I could do all I could to put them down. I'm not that person anymore. And if I would go into overeating, it would be a big deal and I would need to do something right away to get out of that situation. But I do find this, that it's easier for me to keep moving, keep moving forward, stay on the course, do what needs to be done, like we shared at the beginning of the meeting. I don't just talk about those things, I do them. I have a written food plan. Even after 37 years, I have a written food plan, and I stay with that plan because even if I, number one, I don't believe that there is any plan that is fallible, you know, infallible, I should say. There is no plan that is perfect. So I don't even need to try to put you on my plan. Now, if you want me to help you, I have found this out. It's better that I do know your plan because I know the wiles of the devil. I can figure it out, you know. And for me personally, I have the people, you know, I want people to be on my plan again, not because it's perfect, but because I can have a better eyesight on when the evil one is trying to make a comeback. But as far as trying to get the world to follow my food plan, absolutely not. The only thing that I tell people who are coming into food recovery is to have a plan. To have it written so that you can help someone else and it won't be so ambiguous that they don't even know what it is. You know, you're saying, you know, oh, as if, you know, oh, I am so holy, I don't, you know, we need a plan. We have to eat every day. And we need what I call a template. That is the base plan that we put food into that every day. We don't wake up one morning and have breakfast, you know, crazy, having this, having that, having this, having that. And we know what we do for breakfast. For me, you know, it means how much protein I have, you know, how much fruit I have. But someone else might have a different plan on what they do at breakfast. But when it's written down, we don't have to get into amnesia anymore. So, yes, I do. My plan is written and then my plan for the day that fits into that template is written too. And I also am very aware of portion control. So that means when I am executing that plan, you know, like someone says, I don't throw my food on the scale across the room, you know, just barely seeing what it says on the scale. No, I'm accurate in doing what I need to do. So portion control is important, but also having a sponsor who is not afraid to tell me the truth about, you know, my food and my weight and my body image and all of this stuff to do that. And I'm grateful for her. I'm grateful. And she also is one by example. She tells me by example. She shows me by example of what it is. But keeping in mind, even those things, those three things, you know, having that food in order, having the portion control part of my heart, having a sponsor. But this is the biggie, is that prayer. Prayer in the name of Jesus. This understanding, this communication that I have with the God of the universe, that in essence is what it's all about. I need to pray, stop, drop, and pray throughout the day. And if I am going to pray effectively, I need to be in the Word. I need to be in the Word. The Word becomes my scripts. The word becomes the mirror that shows me when I am off. And this is why, you know, in Bible for Food, the encouragement is to be on a reading schedule that will put you through the Bible in a year's time. So every year you are renewing that understanding of who you are in Christ, who we are in Christ. And so if you're struggling with the food, look at how committed you are to remembering who you are in the Lord. You know, if the Bible immersion is nothing you're doing, it's something, you know, something I'll get around to doing. You know, look at that. You may not even have enough of the word in you on a daily basis to fight back. The Bible tells us that the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And let me tell you, the devil is always looking for a way to put his foot in the door and to push that door open again. And I have seen many people who thought that they were so spiritual that they would never go back into the food. Don't believe it for a moment. Don't believe it. We have to eat every day. And that means that there are more opportunities in this particular addiction than other people's addiction. You know, if somebody has an addiction to porn, you know, they may not even have to look at their phone, or, you know, yeah, but maybe they do look at their phone a lot. But, you know, you have to go, and if you have an addiction to cigarettes, you might have to go and buy the cigarettes and whatever. But my point is this, don't be fooled. And there are certain skills surrounding this food issue that it's important to learn from people who have succeeded, you know, in overcoming it. And in that respect, you can actually learn from someone who does not even know the Lord yet. If they have conquered the skill of being able to not be in the food, then you who know the Lord can actually help them. First, you can be a wonderful witness to them by being submissive to what they tell you to do with your food, you know, to follow their authority. Don't be telling them that you're going to eat such and such and you're going to do that, and then 2 minutes later you decide, I'm not going to eat this, I'm going to do this, and then whatever. No, that is not, you know, good sponsorship behavior. And don't try to be the tail wagging the dog, as they call it, you know, telling her what you're going to do with your food versus asking, you know, what do you suggest? What do you think? And following their direction. And I'm saying all of this because one of the things I do learn about the Bible is that God wants us to practice learning how to work under authority. We are not to be, if we think we're the boss of everything, I'm telling you, after a while, yeah, we'll give ourselves permission to just go right into that food very easily, because, like I said, the devil is standing by trying to do that. But let me pray. Father, I want to always see the ugliness of any addictive behavior, but particularly mine. I don't want to be enticed by the food. It's a false promise. Draw me to Jesus. And I love being alive in Him. God, I pray that the way I live will attract others to know Him. And I pray that before I even open my mouth, people will know that this is not theory, that Jesus is indeed the Lord of my life. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray. Amen.